Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church on this Sunday between Christmas and New Year. It's a different kind of service today in order to give our AV team and all those amazing volunteers who have helped us so much throughout the year a well-deserved week off. So I hope you enjoy this worship time together, and I'm pleased to be here with you all. As we enter a time of prayer, in the silence of our hearts or in spoken words, let us give thanks for the gifts of this day and pray for the life of this world. Christ Jesus, by your coming, set us free for ministry. God of life, God of new life, by the birth of Jesus, you have brought light into our darkness. Shine in our lives. God of life, God of new life, nothing will ever separate us from your love. Give us faith to trust your promise. God of life, God of new life, you call us to serve the hungry, the poor, the lonely, and the outcast. Show us how we can respond. God of life, God of new life, Jesus was born into poverty and lived under oppression. Open our eyes to injustice and inspire us to proclaim your reign. God of life, God of new life, by the birth of Jesus, bring your healing to those in need especially those we name before you in our hearts and on our minds. God of life, God of new life, inspire this congregation to reach out beyond our walls, beyond our fears, beyond our past. Help us to welcome your future. God of life, God of new life, by the birth of Jesus, you have brought light into our darkness. Shine in our lives. Christ Jesus, by your coming, set us free for ministry. We pray in the name of Jesus, our light, our life, and our hope, as we join our voices together in the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Timothy. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some people will turn away from the faith. They will pay attention to things of the world and not of God. They will be controlled by the pretense of lying, and their own consciences will be seared. They will prohibit marriage and eating foods that God created and intended to be accepted with thanksgiving by those who are faithful and have come to know the truth. Everything that has been created by God is good, and nothing that is received with thanksgiving should be rejected. These things are made holy by God's word and prayer. If you point these things out to the believers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, who has been trained by the words of faith and the traditions that you've carefully followed. But stay away from the godless myths that are passed down from the older women. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen to the angels rejoicing ever so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory. The night that Christ was born, can't you see the people coming from every nation, pleading for salvation? Rejoicing ever so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory, the night that Christ was born. Can't you see the people coming from every nation, pleading for salvation, the night that Christ was born? Thank you.
Today is the third day of Christmas, and as we sit in this in-between time of Christmas and New Year, I always start to think about the traditions and rituals of these times. It is the time I am most often homesick, being away from those things which I grew up with and which formed my faith and life. Midnight Mass for us in England is always at midnight on Christmas Eve, conveniently starting at 11:30 p.m., which gives you time for last orders at the pub across the street from the church. And it always includes communion. Christmas morning is opening stockings and then heading once more to church to celebrate the arrival of Jesus in our midst, the end of the long wait. And then, of course, we pop back to the pub for a quick one before going home to cook the dinner and celebrate with our families. All of this is done in bitterly cold weather, sometimes rain, and very different to how I spend Christmas here. I have new traditions here now, influenced by the people I now live among, adopting some of theirs and making some new ones of my own. I imagine if I asked each one of you, you would have different traditions which make your Christmas special and meaningful for you and your families. In fact, I asked a few people from church about their traditions.
One of our family traditions is that on Christmas Eve, we get to open a couple presents earlier, and those presents always have pajamas, which we wear that night.
Another of our family traditions is that we make gingerbread houses.
With our friends.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Dario and I'm originally from Italy. And in the region where I'm from, the nativity scene is a big tradition, almost as popular as the Christmas tree. Many families, they build their nativity scenes in their homes. They include little statues of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in a small stable or cave with shepherds and angels. And they also add other elements all around to mimic the landscape. I remember that when I was a kid, I used to get real moss and little rocks. And every year we used to buy a couple of new characters. We also used to put the Magi at the opposite side of the Nativity, and every day used to move them closer to Jesus such that they could get there on January 6. In my hometown, there is a Nativity scene in every church, and there is an exhibit of artistic representation of the Nativity scene, which is very well attended and very popular. This is definitely the tradition that I would bring to the United States.
I love and appreciate our diverse Hollywood UMC so much, and thank those who made these videos for me. All of this led me to thinking about those traditions which are common to us all and how they became the mainstays of our celebrations. So I did some digging, and this is what I found. In the beginning of the church's life, the early church paid no special attention to the celebration of the Nativity. This was mostly because the Bible gives no date for the birth of Jesus. The only major events celebrated by the church were Easter and the resurrection. And this could be done because the Bible tells us that Jesus was celebrating Passover on Holy Thursday, and so the date was tied to the lunar calendar of the Jewish traditions. When the Roman Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity in 312 AD, the movement to celebrate Jesus's birth began. The religion of the Roman world at that time featured a wide array of gods and goddesses with associated annual festivals. One of the most important of these was the annual festival of the sun god Saturn. Held at the winter solstice, Romans generally spent the whole week eating, drinking, and exchanging gifts. As the converts to Christianity were no longer able to celebrate this holiday, church leaders of the time decided to offer celebration of Christ's nativity as an alternative. And this worked really well for much of the rest of the world also, as many celebrated the winter solstice and the coming of the sun, S-U-N, at the same time. Symbolically, this worked as well, as the pagan rebirth of the sun could easily be reshaped into the Christian birth of God's Son, the light of the world. So everyone was happy with the suggested date, and that is what we have stuck with ever since. I'm not sure how many of you have a Yule log cake at Christmas time. We do in England. It's a cake in the shape of a log and remind us of the Celtic practice where it was lit on the eve of the solstice to burn through the night to welcome the new sun at dawn. And what about holly with which we decorate our homes? Ancient Celts revered the evergreen as a symbol of eternal life, and believe that when placed around a doorway or window, its prickly leaves warded off evil spirits. Christianity kept the tradition because of its emphasis on eternal life, and also because the sharp leaves conjured up images of Christ's crown of thorns. Mistletoe also comes from the Celts, who saw it as a plant possessing miraculous properties, including the power to heal sickness, neutralize poison, stimulate fertility, and bring good luck. Celts considered mistletoe so sacred that warriors who found themselves battling beneath it were required to cease fighting, at least for a short period of time, and exchange greetings. From this idea, along with the fertility connotation, comes the more recent practice of kissing beneath the mistletoe. And how about the Christmas tree? The modern Christmas tree comes from Germany. In the 16th century, when devout Christians brought decorated trees into their homes, some built Christmas pyramids of wood and decorated them with evergreens and candles if wood was scarce. It's a widely held belief that Martin Luther, the 16th century Protestant reformer, was the first to add lighted candles to a tree. Walking towards his home one winter evening composing a sermon, he was awed by the brilliance of stars twinkling amidst the evergreens. And to recapture this scene for his family, he erected a tree in the main room and wired its branches with lighted candles. St. Nicholas was a bishop in what is today the country of Turkey. He was a wealthy man and also very kind, and had a reputation for helping the poor and giving secret gifts to people who needed it. The legend of how he came to be the giver of gifts at Christmas goes something like this. There was a poor man who had three daughters. The man was so poor that he didn't have enough money for a dowry, so his daughters couldn't get married. And this still happens in countries today, the dowry thing. One night, Nicholas secretly dropped a bag of gold down the chimney and into this house, which meant that the eldest daughter was now able to be married. The bag fell into a stocking that had been hung by the fire to dry. This was repeated later for the second daughter. And finally, determined to discover the person who had given him the money, the father secretly hid by the fire one evening until he caught Nicholas dropping in a bag of gold. Nicholas begged the man to not tell anyone what he had done because he didn't want to bring attention to himself. But soon the news got out, and when everyone received a secret gift, it was thought that maybe it was from Nicholas. The story of reindeer comes from Scandinavia. In Norse and Germanic mythology, Thor is the god of thunder and soars through the sky in a chariot pulled by two magical goats. Thor was highly revered and was arguably the most popular of Norse gods in ancient times. Images and stories of Thor soaring the skies in his sleigh pulled by two large horned goats may have influenced the creation of Santa's sleigh and flying antlered reindeer by those in the West who were familiar with Dutch or Germanic mythology. So many great stories of how all these things came to become our beliefs and traditions. And amazing to think how long they have stuck with us. Traditions like these are great. They can be unifying, meaningful, memorable, life-giving, and lesson teaching, even helping us to make greater meaning of our faith through their symbolism. And yet, they can also distract us from the real reason we honor and mark this special time. Our scripture passage today warns us of this very thing. I'm not sure why at the end it felt called to name older women as the ones most responsible for spreading myths and baseless facts, but believe me, it's on my list to investigate further. But what it does teach us of value is that we should not turn away from or be distracted from our faith. This is what we must anchor ourselves in. The story of the birth of Christ, our Lord and Savior, is foundational to us. So amidst all the food, decorations, gifts, and our own traditions, let's not lose sight of why we are doing it, what it means for us, and how it changes the way we live our lives. The true meaning of Christmas is love. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send God's Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The true meaning of Christmas is the celebration of this incredible act of love. Amen.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together if the fates allow. Hang a shining